There's a lot of it in this room. Some of it's untapped. Some of it's being used in a mighty way. And we're just going to pick up where we left off last week. You remember where we left off? I have my notes. But do you remember where we left off? Do you remember us reading Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 20? We've been in Genesis. Yeah, looking at the fall of man. We're going to continue down that road, but we're going to add some additional scripture to what's been spoken of in the New Testament. God's breathing those words for us as well. The fall of Adam and Eve may seem distant. How many of you were there? Okay, Carol was there. She's got firsthand knowledge of what went on. I don't know why she didn't just jerk that man bald-headed, but it, you know. Well, because we're in the state we're in. I'm convinced that had you been there, you'd have given him a lashing. And we would not be as grateful and as gracious. You know, letting man fall, which in essence, the free will that God gives us to live. Letting man fall, and he could have stopped it because he is almighty. Letting him fall, I believe, returns to him a greater glory because we choose now to follow. We choose now to honor. We choose now to humble ourselves before him because we know what he's like and what he expects. We choose to do that in humility, knowing our position. The fall of Adam and Eve may seem to be distant, unrelated event of ancient history, but do not be deceived by this false perception. We have much to learn from what Eve and much to apply in our own daily lives. As Paul urged, we must seek to be wise about what is good and ignorant about what is evil. That's Romans chapter 16, latter half of verse 19. We must learn to focus our desires, those things most important to us, on what is good, and to discipline those desires which lead to our destruction. We all make choices on a daily basis. We can choose to honor our Father, or we can choose a path less honoring, where we do our own thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We will be spending a lot of time in the Word, so keep your fingers there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right after Romans. Okay, 10, 8, 7, 9, there we go. Would you read? One through six. Yeah, I was just wanting to make sure I didn't leave anything out. Nice and loud.
For I did not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. They were laid low in the wilderness.
Okay. What is wisdom? what we're talking about. Okay, knowing what to do in relation to what we read in the scriptures. Everything else is man-made wisdom. You follow the stock market? Okay? Because it'll give you ulcers. It will. I got people in my office that follow exchange rates and follow what's going on around the world, and I tell you, it can consume you. I don't, because I know who's in charge. We have an example here, and it's something that you need to embrace. It says, "For I don't want you to be unaware." The word in the Greek means ignorant. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the sea, under a cloud, and passed through the sea. That would be like SpongeBob SquarePants, right? Am I dealing under the sea? Okay. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. What time in history are we talking about here? We're not talking about 2,000 years ago. We're talking about approximately 3,600 years ago, this happened. When did we see Christ come on the scene? About 2,000 years ago. So there's 1,600 years. Let's do the math. Where we didn't see Christ in all his glory, but the scriptures testify that he was there. He was with them. When the Exodus happened and they were led out of Egypt by Moses under God's instruction and his care, they passed through the sea and came, as if it were dry land, and came out on the other side, and the Egyptians were consumed. They drank the same spiritual drink. They ate the same spiritual food. Okay? Manna. Clean water for a couple of million people. Think about the logistics. We're going to have to supply clean water. He's going to have to supply clean water and food enough for 2 million people for 40 years. Huh? In the desert. And he did it. Okay? What don't we get? Okay? Can we pay our bills? Because that'll consume you. Are we worried about how much the dollar's worth? Because if you worry too much about that, that'll consume you. How about your next meal? You worried about that? Well, most of us have enough. But there are a lot of people that don't. And we're here as vessels of that minister to those needs around us. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They were all drinking from the same spiritual rock, which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Period. Underline that. There's no doubt in your mind who's being talked about here. Nevertheless, most of them were not, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness because of I'm looking for a word. It begins with a D. Thank you. Because of their disobedience. They knew what was required of them. What is wisdom? Okay. You know what's required of you individually. Are you doing it? Are you honoring God with every breath you take? Because that's what he expects. And he doesn't expect you to do it on your own. We have the Spirit of God within us that allows us, gives us the ability to do these things. You're not an island or on your own being asked to manufacture these things. That's the way the world works. I'm going to do it by my strength. And if I fail, I fail. If I succeed, I succeed. We don't fail when we are obedient. It's when the earthly, fleshly thing that is in us gains control, that's where we fail. When we take our eyes off the prize, off of Jesus Christ, that's when we fail. You got to catch this, because 6 is the most important thing. Verse 6 is the most important thing we want to take with us today, and I'll show you additional scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:6 says, "Now these things happened as examples for us." As examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. What happened to them in the wilderness? Those who were disobedient, those who did not obey what God had said, that generation, they could not come into the land of promise until that generation had passed. That's how strict the judgment was. And they still were rescued out of Egypt. This is the judgment. Think about that. Even in judgment, God is merciful. But He's written this down for us so that we see these people who were disobedient, we see these people who were obedient as examples to us. How do you walk? How do you live? What is your purpose? If I asked you to articulate that to someone who has absolutely no clue, what would you say? We're going to be held accountable for what we've done in Christ and what we haven't done in Him. What would you say? Now, these things happened as examples for us, so that we might not crave evil things as they also crave. You know what a craving is? Ladies, when you were having children, okay, you had cravings, right? How about guys? What do you crave? What's that thing that gets you up in the morning and makes you... For me, it was a car. I really enjoyed 1974 Nova Super Sport. It was fast, had a lot of fun in it, had a lot of tickets with it. But it was, you know, it's that car that you had when you were young. Ladies, if you, you know, childbirth or cars, you pick. You know, it's, for me, I think about that, and that was great, and I craved it, and I spent a lot of money on it, and it's rusting somewhere now in a heap. Where were my cravings then? Were they correct? The scripture here talks about the men and women of the Old Testament having been rescued from certain destruction, being rescued in a miraculous way, and still being disobedient. Now, these things happened as examples for us, that we might not do what they did, that we might not crave those things. Rather, crave that which is eternal. Wisdom is knowing what to do and then doing it. There's enough wisdom in this room, you could change the people around you by your example. This is real. Knowing what to do and then doing it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we are exhorted, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. What are those fleshly lusts which we are commanded to abstain from? You're all human, right? Don't all speak at once. What's he talking about there? He says, beloved, that's us. I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war within your soul. 2:11. What's he talking about? What are we to abstain from? I'm sorry? Can you name one? Okay. Pride? That's a biggie. It is. What about the rest of you? You are all human. You go through this. What do you wage war against? Huh? Food. Anything that you put first. Above your God, our children, our grandchildren, our toys, our retirement, our giving, we know what is required of us. Way down deep inside, we have the Spirit of God living within us while we do some stupid things. And we know when we are being obedient. None of you are ignorant to that. We know when we are being obedient, and we know when we are being disobedient. God has not left us out in the cold without instruction and without His Spirit. We have both for our benefit. You can ignore one or both, but it will not be good for you. Psalm 42:1. Yeah. What? As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O Lord. Is that the kind of relationship you have? You think about a deer being very thirsty after a hard run and coming to this crystal clear water and just immersing himself, being that thirsty. That's the desire our God wants us to have for Him, knowing what to do and then doing it. I think most of us know what to do. It's the doing that's hard. And I'm not here to beat you over the head because it's just as difficult for me. There are some things that don't bother me that I'm sure plague others. And there are things that I'm stronger on than some of you are. But there are also weaknesses that I have which are not excusable because the same Spirit inhabits me that inhabits you. I therefore, putting aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that you may grow in respect to salvation. That's 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. therefore putting aside, and these things are evident in us because of the fall, putting aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all slander, like newborn babes who haven't had a chance to be extremely corrupted, like newborns, right out of the womb, crave. That's the picture we have to have in our mind, to crave that nourishment that God's Word brings. Christians seek to be wise, but all too often it's not God's wisdom they seek. They seem ignorant to the fact that there is a false wisdom that must be rejected. As much as we are to seek earnestly God's wisdom, we are to reject vehemently worldly wisdom. There is a contrast here that is not gray in any way, shape, or form. It's very black and white. As much as we are to crave God's wisdom and His supply, we are to reject, which I think sometimes is harder because it causes us to take a stand, to reject worldly wisdom. Who would like to read next? Anyone? I'm going to give you an opportunity to volunteer. Huh? You read? I want you to turn your Bibles to James. And we're going to look at chapter 3. And we're going to look at I want to make sure we get it in its entirety. James, Hebrews, James, chapter 3. Okay. You reading? Who's reading? You are? But read, and I won't interrupt, I promise. 3 through 18. 13 through 18. Okay? James 3, 13 through 18.
Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Boy, there's a lot there, isn't there? True wisdom. Okay, that's what we've been talking about. Knowing what to do and then doing it. Who among you is wise and understanding? James gets a bad rap because he asks really hard questions. He does. And it's all God-breathed, so you know where it's coming from. Who among you is wise and full of understanding? Say a show of hands. Every hand should be raised. You who call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. You. Who is? You are. Because you have His Spirit in you to instruct you, to guide you, to do the things supernaturally in you that cannot be done by worldly wisdom. You. Can you believe this? Can you get on board with this? I know it. Who among you is wise? Maybe. But in the context of the scripture that we're reading, he's showing a contrast. Who among you is wise? You should all be wise. You should all have, you all have been given wisdom, the wisdom of God. Am I lying? Is that not the truth? Okay? Exactly. Everything. To everything. I think we justify our behavior and our ignorance because we're human. And I would agree that we do that on occasion, but the greater majority of us, I would say everybody in this room, has some wisdom they have tapped into at some point in time that reflects that godly nature. I think we get, and I understand your pride comment. We'll actually address that. We look at ourselves as so depraved, so ignorant, so unable that we have all the resource of God living within us and we deny it. We deny its power in us. We deny it. When God has said, godly wisdom is yours, knowing what to do and then doing it. Now, he doesn't say that to the world. He contrasts that. And he does it in this passage. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness and wisdom. Okay? You can tell a fruit. You can tell a tree by its fruit. Okay? You know that an apple tree is going to bear fruit. You know that an orange tree is going to bear oranges. Fig trees don't bear oranges. Some trees don't bear fruit at all. Who among you is wise and understanding? I would say pretty much everyone in this room can say, I have been at one point in time or another. But by choice, I choose not to do what I know is the wise thing. Now, the expectation that we have here is that at some point in time, as God gives us life, that we will mature and become more wise tomorrow than we are today. Can we agree on that? This is a matter of growth. This is a matter of sanctification. This is a matter of living this life and watching God work in us and do things that we could not do on our own. Are we agreeing so far? Let him show. Those of you who are wise, let him or her show by his good behavior, his deeds in gentleness and wisdom. Okay? There's an expectation that you're going to do something or Christ would have yanked you out of here the minute you said, I believe. We are here for a purpose. That's why he left us, to be his heralds, to be a picture of him in front of people who don't know him. This is what Christ is like. Helen, Cindy, Rose, this is what Christ is like. Take a look at the guy next to you. Take a look at the woman next to you. This is what Christ is like. Because we've all experienced that at some point in time. We've all believed that that was the case. So, let that wisdom, those good deeds, shine forth in gentleness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, Okay? Here's where we see the blemishes that we need to get rid of. If you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant so to lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Those are strong words. Huge, strong words. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. Arrogance that lies against the truth. You know, we're called to be humble. Okay? And that doesn't mean self-abasing oneself. It means when we toot the horn, it is the gospel of Christ which people hear. Not Mark, not Helen, not Cindy, not Rose, not Joe, not Jeff, not Carol. We seek to honor him in our speech, in our walk, in the things that we do, so that he is magnified. People look to him for that. It continues. This wisdom is not which comes down from above. We see the contrast. We see arrogance in people. We see arrogance in ourselves when we figure we can do it without him. I can do it. I'm strong enough. Where's the reliance on the Holy Spirit there? It's not there. Our reliance is on a holy God. For every breath we take, for every act we do. I mean, that's where we should be pursuing to be. That's where we should desire, like that deer who's very thirsty and is panting for a cool drink. That's the way we should be. That's the way we should be when it comes to doing those things we have been called to do. It should be passionate for us to do them. And it could be meeting the needs of your brothers and sisters. It doesn't have to be preaching in a pulpit. It doesn't have to be teaching. It can be doing those things which you know you've been called to and relying on the Holy Spirit to get you there. It doesn't have to be flamboyant. In fact, I was listening to a passage, and I think it's in Hebrews, where it talks about people of faith, okay, and what they should look like. And it talked about men and women of God who endured great things, hard things, just merciless things at the hands of those who don't believe, who are more worthy than I am or ever will be of God's mercy, grace, and blessing. But I'm not going to stop what I do because I've been called to do it. How sure are you of what you've been called to do that you could say that? You should all be that sure, because it's not you who works in you, it's the Spirit of God who works in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, and we'll end here, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed of whose fruit is righteousness, sown in peace by those who make peace. Your seed of righteousness is Jesus Christ. You have been given his righteousness to do these things. Let's pray. Father God, I pray we would believe your word, that we would see ourselves as you see us. Thank you, Father, for what your word shows us, for what we need to hear, for what changes you need to make in us. I pray we have enough humility to set aside ourselves and make you first in our lives. We thank you for this word that you've given us. We thank you for the examples of faithful men and women that have gone before us, who did not love this world so much that they wouldn't stand firm in what you called them to do. We give you all honor, all glory, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.